We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, The Fan, WFAN, New York.
Welcome back to The Fan. Lori Rubenson here with you. Big day of NFL playoffs, and of course, a big few days for the New York Jets. They make a smart coaching hire. And if you want to learn more about the New York Jets' new head coach, Daryl Slater from NJ.com from The Ledger wrote a terrific piece about the new head coach. And so we'll welcome him in as my guest right now, because in a segment I guess I'm going to call Get to Know Your New Head Coach, Jets fans. Daryl Slater, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
I really enjoyed the piece and the background and thought that it would be good stuff here for Jets fans. And oftentimes general managers hire coaches that they know from previous stops around the NFL. What does it say? Let's just start with about Joe Douglas, that it would seem that Robert Saleh is not somebody that comes from, you know, he met him in Baltimore, he met him in Philadelphia. It really does seem like he just hired someone he thought would be best for the franchise.
Right, yeah. I mean, this is a situation where you look at Joe Douglas's hire, and he was brought in, you know, partly because he was a guy that Adam Gase wanted, mm-hmm. and because there was a connection there. And, you know, that doesn't mean Joe Douglas won't do a good job. And certainly if this Robert Saleh hire works out, then that'll reflect really well on Joe Douglas. But, yeah, they were looking for a coach who could be a leader, a guy who could articulate a coherent vision to, like, the entire team, not be super one-dimensional like Adam Gase was. So they feel like they've found that guy in Robert Saleh, who's a well-regarded leader in San Francisco, really built that defense up from a struggling group to one of the best in the NFL. And you see him on the sideline. Anyone who watches games, you know, can see, mm-hmm. You know, the energy and the presence he has as a leader. And in that way, really, in a lot of ways, he's the anti, you know, Adam Gase. And that's what the Jets have kind of been doing here in their recent head coaching hires. Todd Bowles is kind of the anti-Rex Ryan, Gase the anti-Bowles in terms of being a quarterback whisperer, supposedly. And here they are now with Robert Saleh. I think, you know, for what they need right now as an organization, I think it's a good hire. We'll see how it all works out, but I think you can't fault the decision.
I think that's the key. You never know in sports if you're going to get it right, whether that's with a draft pick or a coach or a general manager. What you want, if you're a Jets fan, if you're a fan of a team, is for the strategy to be sound, to be smart. As you researched this story, talked to people about the Jets' new head coach, about Robert Saleh, was there anything in this, you know, in talking to people that surprised you about him?
You know, I think there had been so much written about him because he was such a fascinating story. And, you know, they had gone to the Super Bowl. So obviously a lot of stuff had been written about him. But, you know, just from a football perspective, I think one of the more interesting things that, you know, doesn't pop out as a hugely kind of fascinating detail per se and from a human perspective, but in terms of one thing, just talking to Gus Bradley, who was his mentor, you know, former Jags coach, now the Raiders defensive coordinator, he talked about, you know, talking to Robert Saleh on the phone about Robert's experience in San Francisco and how much they involved him in all facets of things out there, the offense, the special teams, the scouting department, not just defense. So in that regard, you know, here's one of his mentors saying, I think this guy's really prepared to be a head coach, not just be a guy who's going to come in and only focus on defense like, say, you know, Rex Ryan obviously did. So I think from that perspective, that was something I had not heard much about him before. obviously, you know, his background has been well covered in terms of his, you know, his brother's escaping the Twin Towers on 9/11 and that pushing Robert Saleh into coaching. And really, you know, his blue-collar upbringing in Dearborn, Michigan. And this is a guy who is, you know, a product of, you know, proud immigrant family and a proud immigrant community. And he comes to a place where a lot of people from, you know, his type of background have made it around here, you know, going back, geez, you know, 100 years or so. Mm-hmm. So here's another guy coming to kind of make his way in New York. I think it's kind of a neat story in that regard.
The aspect of it that surprised me was when his brother talked about how Robert Saleh was somebody growing up, that he was kind of the quiet one, the mm-hmm. thoughtful, quieter guy, you know, the chess player. That aspect of the story as the quieter one, the quieter brother, when you see him, and you make this point in the story, but when you see him on the sidelines, he's just so animated and so charged up and so vocal that was an aspect that I thought, well, you know, that's kind of, there's another side to this guy that, you know, there always is with people that maybe we're not seeing. What, you know, in terms of being a chess player or any of these things, what are some of those aspects that you can, I don't know, can be helpful as a head coach?
I think, you know, football is such a fascinating sport because on one hand, it does have extreme violence, which is a phrase that Robert Saleh preached in San Francisco and his players wore on their wristbands. But on the other hand, it really is one of the more cerebral sports, if you think about it, from a coaching perspective. And you really, you obviously can't be dumb and play the sport at a high level or even coach the sport at a high level. And you do have to be very cerebral. I think if you look at some of the current coaches in the NFL, I mean, even Sean McDermott, they were talking on the broadcast last night about his background in business before he went into coaching mm-hmm. With the Eagles and went on to, you know, obviously do a great job with the Bills. You see that with Robert Saleh. I mean, he went and got a finance degree and his brother got a finance degree as well. And this is a guy who is a really good chess player apparently too. So, you know, I don't know how well that's necessarily going to translate to being a good head coach, but I think there's a couple of things that you have to kind of be able to do as an NFL head coach. You have to be able to think cerebrally and analytically, but do it quickly. And then you also have to be able to motivate and manage a locker room. So maybe while Adam Gase, I think, is a guy who is good at kind of breaking down and studying film, and that's maybe all he really wanted to do, the human side of the job really escaped him. And I think that you have to marry the two. You have to be a bit of a brainiac, but also be a guy who can know when to yell, know when to, you know, comfort a player per se, coddle, I don't know if that's the right word, but manage personalities and manage a locker room. So it's really both sides of the coin for successful NFL coaches today. If you look at the best of them, they can do that. And so I think that's what the Jets are hoping they're getting in Robert Saleh.
Talking to Daryl Slater from The Ledger about the Jets' new head coach. And you mentioned the immigrant background, the family immigrant background, and his family, his grandfather, emigrating from Lebanon and coming here, and ultimately the family settling in the Detroit area, Dearborn, Michigan, big Lebanese Arab community, American community here. But how significant is it? You know, it's about to be in half an hour. It's Martin Luther King Day in this country. We are trying to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion across business, across sports, across, you know, all different realms of our lives. How significant is it that he is, you know, the first Muslim head coach in the NFL?
Yeah, it certainly breaks a barrier in the sport, no doubt. You know, talking to his brother, you know, he was saying that, you know, Robert doesn't look at it like that. You know, he looks at himself like a football coach and certainly a guy who earns this opportunity through scratching and clawing his way up, really from being a D2 tight end to getting a GA jobs throughout college and defensive intern jobs in the NFL. And so he certainly earned this opportunity. But yeah, I think it's significant, and got a chance to talk to the Council of American Islamic Relations director here in New Jersey, which is a national organization, and they have state directors. And he was talking about, you know, look, I mean, it's almost 20 years since 9/11, and you know, I think a lot of people in the narrative in the years after 9/11 was how the country united. But anyone who lived around here knows that there was quite a bit of backlash toward Muslim people, and mm-hmm. certainly in our area, which is, you know, considered a very progressive area. And that happened. And just talking to this gentleman who works for CAIR out of New Jersey here, you know, he said that's, you know, there's still some of that. And look, I mean, you can turn on the news and see that it's not like we've cured racism in this country. It's not like we've cured Islamophobia in this mm-hmm. country. Far from it.
Yeah.
So will that change any of that? Will this hire change any of that? I don't know. I think that's probably asking too much. But I think what the gentleman I spoke to with the Council on American Islamic Relations talked about was, you know, people are going to be able to turn on their televisions in a huge media market mm-hmm. and whenever the Jets are in prime time nationally and say, you know, here's a guy who, you know, it's, I don't know if, like, you know, people can see, like, Muslim folks are in all walks of life. They might not just mm-hmm. be your doctor, or they might not just be, you know, working a blue collar job. You know, mm-hmm. they're across all spectrums of life in America. And certainly, you know, football is not necessarily a sport you see a lot of young Muslim kids gravitate toward. Right. And so maybe this sprouts another generation of young Robert Saleh to kind of gravitate toward football.
Yeah, and as you referenced with his brother, I think another cool aspect of the story that I hope will have, you know, he at some point, you know, he may comment on as we get closer to the anniversary of 9/11 and as the Jets head coach, that having a firsthand family connection with 9/11, that his brother David was in one of the Twin Towers that day and luckily got out safely, but what a traumatic experience that was for Robert Saleh's family. And that personal account of it, I think, providing it just gives somebody who's new to our area that sense of how the gravity of it and the importance and the lasting mark that it left. You know, we talk about the country, but certainly on the people in this area. So there's an interesting connection there that I hope will bond him in some ways to fans and maybe lead to, you know, potentially a little more open-mindedness, I hope.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there was obviously a horrific day. And, you know, the people who were affected by what happened came from all walks of life, mm-hmm. right? I mean, people in those towers were from all walks of life. I mean, David Saleh was in that tower. He's a Lebanese Muslim guy from Dearborn, Michigan, whose grandfather came here in the 40s and couldn't read and worked at the Ford plant and started a shoe store and then or a furniture store rather. And then his parents did. And then David got a finance degree and then he's in the Twin Towers. So, you know, there were so many people that were affected by that and all American, you know, the American folks, you know, from yeah. all backgrounds. And so I think that's part of it too. And I think so many horrible things came out of 9/11. Obviously so many people lost their lives and lost family members, but for Robert Saleh, it was a transformative moment where he kind of looked at it and said, and his brother too, just talking to his brother said, you know, that was a moment where I kind of realized, like, you know, obviously the fragility of life and it sounds cliche and the value of life. And, Robert Saleh turned that into wanting to do something with his limited time on this earth that he really wanted to do. He didn't want to sit in an office at Comerica in Detroit and do credit analyst work. And there's certainly value in that, but he wanted to do what he placed the most value on. And I think that's a lesson probably a lot of people took from 9/11 who were directly affected by it, whether they're you know, survivors or family of survivors, you know, that how precious the limited time we have is. And Robert Saleh has parlayed that and turned that into, you know, making his life's work something that made him the coach of the Jets. I think it's on so many levels, he is just a fascinating story. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if he wins with the Jets. A lot depends on Joe Douglas. But I think, you know, this story and the leadership that he brings, I think a lot of fans will gravitate toward it. And I think a lot of young players will look at this guy who's not much older than them and say, you know, this is a guy I want to play for, and this is a guy I want to, you know, to work hard for.
Talking to Daryl Slater about the Jets, and speaking of Joe Douglas and getting Robert Saleh players, so have to address the rumor that's out there, which is Deshaun Watson supposedly not happy with the Houston Texans and may push for a trade. What should the Jets be willing to trade for Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, a lot of it depends on what Deshaun Watson wants to. You know, he has a no-trade clause, so he can really dictate where he wants to go. And, you know, I think the Jets will have to be a team, if, say, there's like three or four teams that are offering for Deshaun Watson, and the Texans say, hey, we're only going to take the Jets' offer, do you want out? This is your only route out. I think the Jets are going to have to make a super enticing offer to get to the top of that list, because they're obviously a team that's coming off a two-win season, and they're not super well positioned to be a contender right now. If you're Deshaun Watson, you're getting paid the same amount of money no matter where you go. You could go to Miami and pay no state income tax if they want you there, or come to New Jersey and pay a lot of state income taxes, people know around here. So I think the Jets would be in a situation where they'd probably have to offer three first-round picks. And they have two in each of the next two drafts in 2021, 2022, and obviously in line only of the one in 2023. But I think it's going to be a situation where they'll have to give the number two pick and then probably two more first-round picks, depending on how it shakes out, maybe one next year and then one in 2023. Will that be enough? Will Deshaun Watson want to play for the Jets? Will the Texans even want to trade him, or will they call his bluff and play this whole thing out through the summer? I think there's so many what ifs, but obviously the Jets, as everyone knows, have a lot of question marks at quarterback too, with not having the first pick.
But a Jets fan can dream. So
absolutely.
Daryl Slater, appreciate the time. Good stuff. Great article. If you haven't read it and you want to get to know the new Jets head coach, we'll catch up with you down the road. Thanks so much.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.